2 weeks ago, we started a sermon series entitled, We Need Men of Courage. And being this is Father's Day, and I thought, well, do I need to do a trendy Father's Day sermon? Everybody just, sappy and make you feel good, and you just tiptoe. What greater gift could you give your children than to be a courageous man of God? That was weak. Mark, that was weak. What greater gift could you give your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren? You won't ever see your great-great-great-great-grandchildren, but what greater gift could you give them than to be a courageous man of God today? Nothing. You could leave them millions of dollars and it wouldn't be as good as being a courageous man of God today. Listen, we saw on that day when we started this series that we desperately need men of great courage today like never before. We learned that we as Christians commit a great sin when we are silent. And there seems to be a great silence from Christians today. Church, we need men of great courage. And Paul gave us some guidelines as to how to be courageous. He told us to be alert, knowing what was going on in the world and what was happening around us. He told us to stand firm in our faith, taking a stand for our faith. Listen, we need men of God, we need people of God to start taking a stand for our faith today like never before, amen? Well, that's the way the world the world's changing. No, we need to stand on the Word of God today, tomorrow, and every day. Okay. He told us also to be brave and strong. And Paul told us to do everything that we do, to do in love. Today, as we continue in this series, I want us to look at a person in the Old Testament Scripture who fit the mold of being a man of courage. And most of y'all have probably already guessed that man is who? Joshua. That's exactly right. So let's look at Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, who had served Moses. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now you and all the people prepare to cross over the Jordan to the land I am giving the Israelites. I have given you every place where the sole of your foot treads, just as I promised Moses. Your territory will be from the wilderness of Lebanon to the great Euphrates River, all the land of the Hittites west of the Mediterranean Sea. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. Listen, no one. Do y'all know what that means? No one. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. I will be with you just as I was with Moses. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you will distribute the land I swore to their fathers to give them as an inheritance. Above all, be strong and very courageous to carefully observe the whole instruction my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn to the right or to the left so that you will have success wherever you go. This book of instruction must not depart from your mouth. You are to recite it day and night so that you may carefully observe everything written in it. For then you will prosper and succeed in whatever you do. Haven't I commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Hey, listen, church, if you ever get down and destitute, if you ever feel all alone, if you start getting depraved and depressed and you say, I just don't know how I can make it, you need to write at the front of your Bible, Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 through 9, because that'll get you through a lot of days. It really will. Our plate is nowhere close to as full as the plate Joshua was given, and God gave him the same instructions that we all need today. God is with you every single day. See, that's the Father that loves us. You hear me, church? He doesn't just give you an assignment and say, all right, hey, good luck. He's with you every single day. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we love you. And we're so thankful that you're our Father. We're so thankful that you love us. We don't understand that love at times, God. How in the world you could love wretched people like us? But you do. And Lord, we pray that you would be with us right now in these short few minutes during this message. Help us, God, to not look around, but to look ourselves face to face, Lord. Help us to see ourselves as we truly are. Help us, Lord, to see where we need to make some changes to be that man of God, that courageous man of God that you've created us to be. In Christ Jesus' name we do pray. And all God's children said, amen. Who was this man, Joshua? Who in the world was he? Well, this scripture tells us quite a bit. I mean, it says a lot by not saying a lot, but it tells us a lot by saying quite a bit as well. Joshua was a man who loved the Lord. He loved the Lord. Hey, listen, if we need anything in the day we live in today, we need men to love God. We need men to love God more than their wife. Now, I love my wife, but I love God more. I'm able to love my wife because I love God. And I pray every single day, James, I pray every single day, God, help me to love my wife the way you love the church. That's how we're going to love them more. But Joshua loved God. He loved the Lord. He had learned at a seemingly young age that he loved the Lord. And he was going to stand with the Lord. At a very young age, he realized this and he understood it and he decided he was going to stand with the Lord. Do you not understand that Joshua faced the same temptations today, or in the day that he lived in, that we face today? But as he grew into a man, he chose to stand with and serve the Lord. Do you realize that the choices that you make today will determine who you are in the future? Young people, young adults, young parents, old parents, middle-aged parents, do you not understand that the decisions you make today will determine who you are tomorrow? The scripture we just read a few minutes ago said Joshua learned to love the Lord at a young age. And I'll qualify that here in a second. Well, I didn't see that. I'll show you here in a second. But the decision he made at a young age determined who he was going to be in the future. Listen to me. Young girls, if you're hanging around with the boy who says, hey, baby, I love you, but he doesn't love the Lord, you better run. Because he's never going to love you the way he ought to love you. Well, he says he loves me. He'll hold my hand and he gives me a kiss on the cheek and he buys me flowers and chocolate candy. Throw it all in the garbage. Because if he doesn't love God, he'll never love you the way God wants you to be loved. Hey, listen, I want the fullness of that love, don't you? I really do. Young boys, if you're dating some girl and she's more interested in things of this world and herself, hey, listen, just kick her to the curb. Really? Really? I mean, if all her concern is going here and going there and wearing this and wearing that, and boy, you drive. Hey, listen, you know one of the things I love more about my wife than anything else? When we were dating, you know what, Lurie, you know what I was driving? A Mazda GLC hatchback station wagon. Yes, sir. You know what they called that back in my day? A cool sucker. Because it sucked the cool right out of you. Most of the time I had 255 AC, Mark. You know what that is? The only way it was cool in the car is rolling windows down at 55 miles an hour. I had an AM, FM radio. No cassette. That was extra. That's right. But my wife loved me no matter what. Hey, guys, listen, if you've got a materialistic girlfriend, hey, listen, well, I'm in it. I like you. You look good. But what's in it for me? If you find, you know, take me here, take me there, take me there. Hey, listen, you better kick her to the curb. Find one that loves Jesus. Hey, listen, find one that calls you and says, baby, what time are you picking me up to church? Amen? Find one that says, hey, listen, aren't we going to church on Sunday night? We're not going to miss Bible study on Wednesday night. Listen, don't you want to be loved the way God wants you to be loved? Listen, Joshua loved the Lord, and he determined at a very young age he was going to love and he was going to serve the Lord. Well, how do we know that Joshua chose to stand with and serve the Lord and he loved? Where are you getting all that, Brother Kyle? Because the scripture we just read tells us that he was chosen to lead the Hebrew children into the promised land. You don't get that kind of job for being a chump. You don't get that kind of, you're talking about 2 to 3 million people. Their leader was chosen to lead them into the promised land. Oh, he doesn't love God. Well, you know, he comes to church on Sunday morning. And you know, he wears a cross around his neck, and he's got a Bible that keeps up in the back window of his car. And you know, he tells people, no. You don't get that kind of a job leading 2 to 3 million people to the promised land and be a half Christian or tell people that you're a Christian. Amen? You are fully, totally committed, sold out. Nothing else matters to you more than this God. Nobody. God gives you that type of job. Listen, I wrote this down. Let me see if I can get this right. I hope I hadn't overstepped myself. Your choices will determine your responsibilities. You realize that? You know, Brother Kyle, I've listened to your messages, and you've told us that God has something for everybody. He has a job and a position, something for everybody to do, but He's never spoken to me about my job. Well, why don't you get about doing something? You hear me? Why don't you spend more time with God? Really devote yourself to God, because I promise you, I've never seen anybody who devotes themselves to God that God doesn't reveal the responsibilities to them. Never. Never. I've told y'all in times past, all I did was say, God, I want to serve you. I got in my Bible more. Hey, you know what I started doing? I got crazy. I became a crazy Christian. I started tithing. My parents thought I was crazy. You doing what? Yeah, I'm tithing. And y'all, a tithing message is coming. Y'all don't lay out of church, okay? I started tithing, and I started praying. I started being faithful. See, my wife, she was going to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Bible. I mean, she was WMU, this, I mean, everything. I was like, good gracious, woman, you know, what about me? And then I started following her and doing everything. And listen, God grew in me. Then somebody asked me, hey, Bob, they asked me to be assistant Sunday school teacher. I was like, well, I'm not qualified, but I'll try. And I did it, and I must have done it well because they wanted me to be the Sunday school teacher. And then I went from Sunday school teacher to being an Awana leader, from an Awana leader to be the Awana commander, from the Awana commander to being a youth pastor, being a youth pastor to being your pastor. You see, listen, if God gives you a responsibility and you do it well, He's going to keep on giving you more and more responsibilities. Lord, I don't know what you have planned next. I really don't. I don't know what's greater than being a pastor of a local church. I don't. But do you see, Joshua loved the Lord. He wasn't just some average Christian. He was a Christian. He said, listen, I'm going to serve God with all, I love the Lord. And God says, okay, I'm going to give you the greatest responsibility. Some of you have no responsibilities because what would you do with it? I don't know. I really don't know. I don't have a clue, Lisa, if I said, okay, I'm going to take Lisa's mantle from her of directing the music and I'm going to give it to somebody else. I don't know what they would do with it. But God does. God does. Listen, God opens doors that you can never see open. You don't even see that they're there. God will open a door and He'll shut a door. But listen, does it not confound you or just disturb you that there's not been a door open for you at all? Are you devoted, completely committed to God the way Joshua was? Listen, can I tell you that I believe this man, this great man of courage, decided early on as he watched Moses in Egypt serving the Lord, this is who I want to be. He watched Moses and he said, this is who I want to be. I want to serve God and have a relationship with God like this Moses does. I believe every time Moses looked over his shoulder, he didn't have to look far because Joshua was right behind him. As Moses was standing in the courtyard and the king of Egypt was out there, I believe he was, you know, talking with the king of Egypt, and he dropped his staff and it turned into a snake. And I believe if Moses would have looked around his shoulder, Joshua would have been somewhere in the crowd behind him. I believe every time Moses did something in Egypt, if he looked behind him somewhere, Joshua was right close behind him. And he was wanting to emulate him. He was wanting to be just like, have just the same relationship with God as this Moses guy had. Church, this ought to tell us some things right here. The first thing we ought to see is that who we hang out with will have a determining factor as to who we're going to become and who we'll most likely become. Listen, I want to be around men of God. I do. Do you know why? Because that's who stimulates me spiritually. I can't go anywhere. I can't go to the movies. I love movies, I do. And my boys say, hey, Dad, let's go see Batman. Let's go see this movie. Let's go see that. I like to go see movies. But I've never walked out of a movie and said, you know, I love Jesus more. Any of y'all? But every time I'm around a man of God, a true man of God, I walk away thinking, you know, I need to be more for the Lord. I want to be more for the Lord. That's how I want to be. That's how I want to talk. That's how I want to act. That's where I want my interest to be, right there. Listen to me. That old adage, if you walk like a duck, talk like a duck, look like a duck, act like a duck, and dress like a duck, most likely you are a duck. That's true. If you hang around a bunch of ducks, most likely you're going to start quacking before too long. Really. It's the truth. Well, I'm strong. I don't have to give into everything they give into. You just keep telling yourself and see how far it gets you in 50 years. Joshua loved the Lord. And every instance, every time he had the opportunity to, he was watching. He was emulating that guy Moses. Everywhere Moses was, here he was. He was right behind him. And it wasn't too long before he was given that mantle. The second thing I think we ought to see here is we need to be courageous men of God, because whether we ever see it or not, someone is standing right behind us, watching us and saying, that's who I want to be. Do you hear me? We sit here, oh, how I love Jesus. Somebody's watching you. Somebody's watching you. I take the opportunity, and parents, y'all do this. Please do this. Oh, please, please do this. With all three of my children, they have grown up 9 months before as Southern Baptists. They have. Before they were even born, they were Southern Baptists. And Amy and I have both done something. They were always around stinking youth when they were babies. Not our youth. Our youth were phenomenal. Amen, right? But I started watching them. Kyle and Alex and Emily, there were always small children in the church around us. And it never fails. We're there 15, 20 days, and some child has latched on to one of them. And you know what Daddy and Mama take the opportunity to do? We pull our children aside and we say, look, Emily, that little girl loves you. Don't fail God, because they're watching you. That's too much pressure on your kid. No, it's not. No, it's not. Don't you realize that somebody's watching you? Mark, somebody's watching you. You might not ever know who it is. Steve, somebody's watching you. Poppy, listen, Poppy and I had a talk, and I'm going to tell it, Poppy. Can I tell it? I'm going to tell it anyway. Can I tell it? He came to my office one day when I first got here, and he says, I just don't know why I'm still here. I don't know why I'm still here. I said, Poppy, listen, those children watch you. They're watching you. And they're going to be just like you. They see you here every day serving God like most of you don't. Serving God in the church restlessly every single day. You are making a difference. Church, somebody is watching you, whether you see it or not. Ricky, you might not ever see it, brother, but somebody's watching you, and they're saying, I want to be a Christian one day just like them. What kind of Christian are they going to be? Does that scare some of you? What kind of Christian are they going to be? If your children follow your footsteps, how much are they going to love the Lord? What kind of responsibilities are they going to have in the church because of your devotion to the Lord? That should scare some of you. Can I tell you that the church, listen to me, the church is not digressing because the church is no longer relevant. Tony, I want you to agree with me here. Listen, can I tell you the church is not digressing because the church is no longer relevant, but because the young people are just emulating what they see from their parents and the leaders in the church? Let me say that again. Y'all pay attention. Can I tell you that the church, this church, every church across America, is not digressing because the church is no longer relevant, but because our young people are just emulating what they see from their parents and the leaders in the church? Oh my. That's scary, isn't it? But it's the truth. Look at the church today. Not our church. Our church is, I mean, we're doing good. We could be doing better, amen? But we're doing good. But most every church in America that's digressing isn't digressing because the church isn't relevant anymore. That's what our atheist friends tell us. Church isn't relevant anymore. It's not that at all. It's because our youth and our children are emulating what they see us doing. That's sad. Joshua was also a man who was not swayed by popular opinion. He loved the Lord, church, but he was not swayed by popular opinion. He refused to go along with the crowd. He was not afraid to stand up, even if it meant he was standing at times for God all alone. Don't we need some men like that? Look with me, turn with me real quick to Numbers. To Numbers, chapter 14. Numbers, chapter 14, verse 5. Now, in this scripture, they've just come back from going and spying out the land. The decision's already been made. And we're having a discussion about the decision that was made. Verse 5 says, "Then Moses and Aaron fell down on their faces to the ground in front of the whole assembly of the Israelite community. Joshua son of Nun and Caleb son of Jephunneh, who were among those who scouted out the land, tore their clothes and said to the entire Israelite community, 'The land that we passed through and explored is exceedingly, extremely good land. If the Lord is pleased with us, He will bring us into to this land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and give it to us. Only don't rebel against the Lord, and don't be afraid of the people of the land. For we will devour them. Their protection has been removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Don't be afraid of them.'" Those are good words, aren't they? He and Caleb standing alone. Moses and Aaron on their face before the Lord. They don't know what else to do. Listen to what the Hebrew assembly said. "While the whole community threatened to stone them, the glory of the Lord appeared to all the Israelites at the tent of the meeting." They were ready to stone them. Gary, they were ready to kill them. Do you see here that Joshua stood up to the whole assembly of the Hebrew children? Now, we have a problem standing up to two or three people, don't we? He stood up to the whole assembly of the Hebrew children. Church, it's time that we, not just as Southern Baptists, but we as Christians, stand up for what is wrong in this world. As men of God, as women of God, as people who call themselves Christians, we should not have to be patted and prodded to stand up for what is right. If the Word of God says it's wrong, guess what? We don't have an opinion. It's wrong. And listen, as Christians, we ought to stand on the side of what's right. Joshua and Caleb, as we just read in this scripture in Numbers 14, they were so mad at the whining and complaining of the Hebrew children that they tore their clothes. They just ripped their clothes and they made a passionate plea. Joshua was so in love with the Lord that he stood and gave his passionate plea. And he says this, "How can we fail the Lord if the Lord is with us? How can we fail this job that He's given us if He's with us? How can we fail even if it looks like the odds are against us if the Lord is for us?" Church, if God gives you a job, I can go ahead and tell you He's for you. Get on with it. If God tells you to do something, LaDon, you can go ahead and write it down in blood. He is going to be with you throughout the whole task. Throughout the whole task. Even if it looks like the odds are stacked against you, God is going to be for you. And I'd rather have God than 10,000 people on my side. Amen? Notice in Numbers 14:10, the response of the Hebrew children. They wanted to stone them. Church, I believe if they would have stoned them right then, the Hebrew children would have turned around and walked back to Egypt.
I believe right here in Scripture, Joshua had the right to give up. He had the right to quit. He had the right to throw his hands up in the air and say, what is the use? These people have no idea what it is to love and to serve God. I give up. Isn't that what many of us do? What's the use? I'm the only one doing it. I've heard Bible school teachers in the past 6 weeks saying, man, what's the use? Good night. Nobody's going to volunteer. Nobody. I mean, Deborah had to just about, you know, get on the phone and, on the Yellow Pages and try and find a couple spots. What's the use? There's great use, and I'll get to that here in a second. Can I tell you why Joshua didn't quit, why he didn't give up? Because he was a courageous man of God. His job was to serve God whether or not the people followed him or not. God said, lead them, and he would not fail God. Church, he was affected. He was not affected by the people's actions, but from the call from God. Too many times Christians are affected by people's actions. God tells you to do something, and you start along on the process, and before too long, Tony, somebody comes, and with good intentions, of course, they knock your feet out from under, and you're falling flat on your face, and they say, well, I'm because of what those people did to me, I'm quitting. I know preachers who've quit the ministry because they weren't treated right by churches. Gone. Joshua had the right to quit, Brother Frank. He did. But you know what he realized? I'm not serving just these people. I'm serving God. I didn't get my marching orders from them. I got my marching orders from God. God, I mean, listen, those people didn't whisper in my ear a sweet lullaby and tell me what to do, Brother Mark. God told me what to do. Just because these people have hurt my feelings, knocked me down, they want to stone me and kill me, I'm not giving up. I'm not quitting. I'm not retiring. I'm not giving up or giving in. As a matter of fact, I'm going to give it to you stronger. I'm going to give you more, God. I'm going to be more than what God wants me to be. Church, can I tell you that we have some great men in our church. And when the going gets tough, they're ready and willing to stand with God. But can I also tell you that we need more men like that? We need more men to stand up and say, I don't care if every person in the world hates me for the scriptural stand that God has set before me. I'm standing up for God. Even if I'm standing alone, I'm standing for God. Don't we need more men like that? I'm so sick of lacy drawers, silly men who come on Sunday morning and just stand or say, oh, I love Jesus. No, you don't. Don't you want to be honest with them sometimes, Gary? Bill, Steve, Mr. Crawford, Mr. Ty, don't you want to be honest with some of these men sometimes? No, you don't. You don't love Jesus. If you did, you would be more faithful to Him. Nobody had to beg you to do this and beg you to do that. You'd be more than willing to volunteer. Would be to God that we would say, look, you know, we're going to have this event. And we had 50 men running down. Hey, I'm first. You know, like you did ice cream stand when you were a kid. I want to be first. I want to sign up for that. No. You got to get on the phone and beg them. Can you please? Will you please? Hey, listen, when you're in love with God, you don't want to be second or third, fourth or fifth. You want to be first, don't you? Well, I'll just wait until they call me. Listen, if you're waiting for somebody to call you to do something, the phone's not going to ring. Not by me, anyway. You know what I love? Oh, man, I love this. Oh, God. I love when I'm sitting in my office and somebody comes in and says, Brother Kyle, the Lord has led me to do this. Can I do it? No. Yes, by all means, if the Lord has led you to do it, do it. How much is it going to cost? Oh, hey, listen, it's not going to cost anything. I'm going to pay for it. What? And you're asking me, can you do it? Yeah, go ahead, do it. That's the good stuff. Amen? When God's leading you to do it and you do it at no cost. Church, I could spend all afternoon showing you in Scripture, after Scripture, after Scripture, where Joshua stood as a courageous man of God. But for time's sake, I want to show you just one more. I want us to look at a very familiar Scripture. Very familiar Scripture. A scripture that is near and dear to many in this room. A scripture that is often quoted and very seldom lived out. I'm going to say that again. A scripture that's often quoted and very seldom lived out. I want us to look at Joshua's most notable words. Turn to Joshua chapter 24. Some of y'all know exactly where I'm going. Joshua 24, 14. He writes, therefore, fear the Lord. Wednesday night class, y'all ever heard that before? Fear the Lord. What's the beginning of all wisdom? Fear the Lord. Proverbs what? 1:7. Fear the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. He says, therefore, fear the Lord and worship Him in sincerity and truth. Get rid of the gods of your ancestors worshipped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt. Get rid of them and worship the Lord. But if it doesn't please you to worship the Lord, choose for yourself today the one you will worship. The gods of your fathers worship beyond the Euphrates River and the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my family, we will worship the Lord. Those are good words, aren't they, Poppy? When Joshua spoke those words, he was 110 years old. He was about to die. He assembled all the Hebrew children together and made one final plea to them. He says, stay true to God. Stay true to God. He was bold, Keith. He said, listen, make your decision today. You either serve those gods or you serve the God. Can we make this relevant to the day that we live in? Can we? Today, men, women, children, today, right now, here in a couple seconds, today, choose to whether you're going to serve this world or you're going to serve God. Today, don't put it off any longer. Well, I've got longer. No, you don't. No, you really don't. I want you to choose today whether you're going to continue to serve this world. All your time, energy, money, effort, everything goes into this world, which is corrupted, corruptible. You're going to die. You're going to leave it to somebody or the government's going to get it. You give all this time, energy, money to the world. Are you finally going to say, listen, I'm done with the world. I'm going to serve God. Joshua knew what the people's tendencies were. Can I tell you I do too? I know what people's tendencies are. Well, I've got to take care of me. I know what people's tendencies are. He knew how they would serve God. And this is how they would serve God, when it was convenient with them. Isn't that what we do? We serve God when it's convenient with us. They would serve God when they felt like God was disciplining them. Isn't that what happens? I don't know why God's doing what He's doing to me. I think I might need to come back to God now. No, you need to come back to God before the discipline starts, right? Amen? You need to come back to God before you find yourself at the bottom of the hole. They came back to God when it was convenient with them, when God was disciplining them. Joshua knew that the people would worship other gods in the land if they felt those gods were beneficial to them. And he knew that the destruction, that God's destruction would bring on those people if they would not be obedient to Him and Him alone. So what did he do? He said, choose today. Today, who you're going to serve. Are you going to serve the other gods or are you going to serve the one true God? Church, in closing, will you this morning hear the words of Joshua one more time? And turn from the wickedness of this world as courageous people of God and say with a loud, bold voice, even if you're standing alone, listen, even if you're standing alone, you're the only person standing, will you stand today and say, as for me and my house, we will serve God. Can't make that decision for you. Somebody's watching. Somebody needs you to make a decision today. Will you? Let's all stand, heads bowed and eyes closed. Oh, Lord, to be courageous. To be bold for you. God, to love you the way you created us to love you. God, what must it feel like to not be loved the way you created your creation to love you? God, what must it be like to not see your creation to serve you the way you created us to serve you? God, it has to hurt your heart. Lord, please forgive me. Forgive me where I failed you, where I haven't served you the way I should, for not doing more, Lord, for doing less. God, please forgive me. God, help me to understand what I just preached above all else in this room. Help me, Lord God, to lead my house and lead my family and lead this church in such a way that brings you honor and glory. Lord, I pray that you'd be with us right now. You'd open our eyes and our ears and our hearts. Lord, deal with us as a people. Help us to make a decision today to serve you like never before. In Christ Jesus' name we do pray. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, do you need